Hello and welcome to Healthy Bottom Line, a podcast from Chief Healthcare Executive. I'm Ron Southwick, lead editor of Chief Healthcare Executive. With the arrival of Earth Day, we're looking at ways that hospitals can reduce the amount of waste they generate and improve their sustainability. We're talking today with Alex Chapman, the Director of Regulatory Affairs at Stericycle. She talks about ways hospitals can do better for the environment and save money. It's a terrific discussion. We're glad you're here. This is Healthy Bottom Line. Well, thanks for joining us today. This is Healthy Bottom Line. I'm Ron Southwick, Lead Editor, Chief Healthcare Executive. Today, we're talking with Alex Chapman, Director of Regulatory Affairs at Stericycle. So, Alex, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Ron.
Let's start with a simple question. Just talk about Stericycle and your work with the company. Just how did you come to Stericycle?
I came to Stericycle from a referral, actually. I was told that it was an organization that lived by its values and was committed to driving a sustainable and healthy future, and directly supported healthcare organizations. And that was something that sounded intriguing to me. And one thing led to another, and I've been with the organization a really long time.
And just talk a little bit about what Stericycle does, the work that they do with healthcare organizations.
Absolutely. So Stericycle is, I guess their mantra really is, we protect what matters. And we do that through a variety of programs that directly help organizations compliantly manage their waste. Now, in order to have a sustainable program, you need to be compliant first. So, in order to help our customers reach their sustainability goals, we help ensure that they understand the guidelines that are put out from regulatory and industry standard organizations and bodies, and design programs and support those programs with them to deliver what they need there, and then understanding what's important to them. So Stericycle has programs that are designed to help first start with the foundation of compliance. Understanding the requirements is really critical when managing waste. It's not something that a lot of healthcare executives think a lot about, but it's really critical as it has a lot of impact to community health as well as well-being. And those programs not only factor in the regulatory requirements and industry standards, they also are designed to factor in what our customers' needs are. So sometimes there are business requirements, such as elevating their sustainability to the next level. And Stericycle really interfaces with different stakeholders in the organization to help them reach those goals, whether we're talking managing medical waste or pharmaceutical waste to keep pharmaceuticals out of the drinking water, to confidential information to ensure that that's managed securely as well.
So it seems like there's growing interest in healthcare, in sustainability, in reducing waste. Are you seeing that more health systems, more leaders have this on the radar as not just like on the to-do list, but becoming a bigger priority?
I would say in some ways, yes, some ways, no. So if you think about ACHE and what the requirements are, like the top most important things to healthcare executives, waste isn't ever number one. It's usually things like employee retention, patient population health, reducing impact to the bottom line. But waste is really inherent in all of those things. That said, I would say that there are tenets that tie to waste that make it a priority for healthcare organizations and executives, specifically compliance. There's a lot of challenges nationally that we're seeing around regulatory inspections, increases in state interest with how waste is managed and impact to the environment and community health, as well as there being issues with capacity for disposal. Then, additionally, from a cost mitigation standpoint, when we think about waste and healthcare organizations, they're looking to reduce their spend. And I'm not talking the impact to like it costs me X dollars to remove this box of waste, but more how do I reduce my liability? And additionally, how do I reduce my overall financial impact? And that's going to tie into looking at waste in a life cycle perspective. So if we look upstream in the value chain to what am I buying? And having those leaders engage with the staff that are actually using the products, understanding how they're used, understanding that certain components might change the disposal outcomes, that's where I would say you're seeing more attention given.
So not necessarily at the top of the list, like you say, but getting more attention. And with financial costs and, like you said, also liability as well. These seems like these are concerns that health systems leaders increasingly have to pay attention to one way or the other.
I would agree. And I mean, it's waste is fairly complex. I think, it's easy to think of waste as downstream, like, oh, it's when I threw something away. But it's a lot more complicated to that complicated than that. So one example, if one thing that's out there potentially is changes in how pharmaceuticals are made and managed, that might shift to the United States, and that might mean reduction in getting supplies and materials from overseas. And with that change, it might lead to changes in purchasing and how materials are put together. So if I were a pharmacist and I was used to getting a ready-made product, and now I'm being told, well, I have to get the components and make it myself, how purchasing buys those materials and products based on availability, of course, could impact disposal later. So if I'm in purchasing, it's really important that I engage with all aspects of the team to make an informed decision.
And in healthcare, it's got to be so complex because there are so many things that are often used only one time or historically have only been used once and then are tossed away. So that sort of adds to the challenge for a lot of organizations, I would suspect.
It can, although one thing I would point out is that there's the opportunity for reuse, and it really comes from the top down. So you're going to always have physician preference. For example, they might want something and not worry about, oh, it might not work because it's been reprocessed to use again, such as a medical device. Although, if you have leadership that's actively engaged in driving more sustainable outcomes, that sustainability, of course, includes cost, right? So if they're more engaged and take the time to encourage their leaders to find alternatives to really investigate and understand what reuse can do for their organization from a fiscal perspective as well as environmental perspective, they'll find some substantial savings.
It seems like that top line, that top level leadership is just really important in this type of effort. If you leave it to, I've heard from other organizations that have had some success in sustainability effort, that it made a difference when they knew it was an organizational priority, when it wasn't just like, say, the committee that was working on sustainability per se, trying to make a difference. And even with well-intentioned efforts and probably having some success, the success really is amplified when the leadership is really involved in the effort.
Definitely. I think what's really critical is having engagement from the top, but it's got to be a full team sport. It can't just be your C-suite or senior leaders. The grassroots folks need to be involved as well. I mean, I've seen this before. Organizations get excited. You have nurses on the front line who might collect certain plastics in a small volume and say, "We made a park bench. That's great. That's fantastic." But think of all of the plastics in healthcare. There's a lot more there than for one park bench. So having leadership say, how do we strategically integrate this into our operating plans and take that passion from the front line to operationalize and execute and really have a bigger impact? Again, this all can tie into the bottom line, which I know is a priority for healthcare organizations.
I was really interested to pick your brain about the bottom line aspect of, because I've heard some really interesting differences of opinions on that in terms of gaining sustainability support for those efforts. Like in some, you have to explain the ROI that if you do this, it's going to reduce costs. Others have said that's important, but if you just focus on that, you maybe don't have the success that you're looking for. That it has to be more than just saving money. That has to be about, like, whether it's improving patient care or even just like, a better making the system better so you're having less environmental impact, that's important too. Be curious from your perspective, is it does do you need to have that bigger focus, or really the important thing focusing on the dollars and cents that you can save?
That's a fantastic question and is a complicated question. When you think about trying to get everyone involved and engaged, there's a lot of different people and a lot of different stakeholders in a healthcare organization. And to execute on a priority, you need total buy-in. Cost is always going to be a driver, but to your point, it's not everything. And having the frontline things, so for example, am I going to save a lot of money as a healthcare organization by putting out recycling containers in all public-facing areas? Not really. Probably not. It's not necessarily going to, it's not going to save you a ton of money, but it is going to help drive that culture of sustainability in your organization. When you think about what sustainability is, it's about helping preserve what you're using today, the resources that you use today, making sure that you have them for the future, with protecting human health, environmental health, and fiscal health. Regulatory compliance is the foundation. It's there to do the same things, right? Those regulations are there for that. So as you think about that element and then apply it into trying to build out a sustainability program, it becomes tough with trying to articulate that with waste. When I think about heat jungles in metropolitan areas where you've just got a ton of cement, and how does that happen? Are you going to think, well, it's because I didn't recycle appropriately? Not necessarily, right? That's your one person, but if you put that all together, it does have a larger aggregated impact. The climate change driven by pollution and improper management of materials can cause increased issues with cardiovascular and respiratory health. Everything that everyone does makes a difference. So if I'm working in a health system and my guidelines are I'm here to help people get well, prevent people from getting sick, taking the actions that demonstrate a reduction to that risk in the environment that my patient population is in is going to resonate. So cost is absolutely a driver. But there also needs to be embodied that sense of culture and care about people and the environment as part of your health system as well. And there's some organizations that do a really fantastic job of it. It's not an easy feat, but there does need to be some sort of return as well in order for it to be sustainable financially for an organization too. So it's finding that balance.
Wanted to go back to something you were talking about too, the idea of protecting waterways from pharmaceuticals and managing them effectively. So I'm not sure that's something that a lot of people in the general public know about. So can you talk about more of the challenge of that for health systems and the problem of pharmaceuticals and the products finding their way into waterways?
Yeah, absolutely. So you with pharmaceutical waste, there are, I'd say for most states in the United States, there is not a requirement to collect non-hazardous pharmaceuticals, but there is a requirement to collect hazardous waste pharmaceuticals. And when I say hazardous, I'm talking about environmentally hazardous from the EPA. Although most pharmaceuticals are non-hazardous, they have been proven through studies that have been done through U.S. Geological Survey and others to have a negative impact on wildlife. For example, back, I want to say around 2010, maybe there was a study done where they tested the water by the Potomac in DC and found that there were, and then also looked at the fish, and they found that there were male fish carrying eggs, a speciated fish, and that was tied back to endocrine disruptors, which are not hazardous waste per the EPA. Now, the EPA does recommend that all pharmaceuticals are collected and managed appropriately. And there are some states that require that as well, but not all of them. So, by having a program and choosing a partner that can help organizations sustainably manage their waste and protect their patient population through aggregating and collecting that and managing it appropriately is really important.
We talked before about some of the importance of having top leaders involved in an organization. Love to also get some of your thoughts too, and like what smaller organizations can do as if they want to try and improve their sustainability. Because I mean, for some larger systems, they have the staffing where they can maybe devote a couple people to it, or even like devote a couple people to a part time. A smaller organization, they may not have somebody they can just make that their job. So what are some steps smaller hospitals, smaller health organizations, what can they do if they want to try and reduce waste and maybe reduce their environmental impacts?
That's a really great question because there are a number of smaller community-sized healthcare organizations out there. And you're right, having resources is available to support these kinds of initiatives can be tough. I would start with first engaging your stakeholders, again, making sure you have representatives from each group and look for the low-hanging fruit. So, where can I make the biggest impact in the easiest way? First, do I understand what the requirements are? Do I understand how these materials are used? Do I have containers set up appropriately? Just an easy one. Do I have medical waste containers next to a sink that's really only going to get paper towels? There are lots of little things that you can do by looking at just your general setup and workflow and process, but then taking it a step further and challenging purchasing, for example, do you engage the stakeholders for programs to ensure that we are thinking through what's needed? Purchasing might not think about the capability of having reusable containers for sharps or medical waste, and that could be a savings opportunity for them instead of buying disposable. And then you could take it a step further into product use. How are products used? Now, someone might say, well, Alex, there's thousands of products that my team purchases. Absolutely. So focus on maybe your top five case areas. Look at your preference cards for your physicians. What are things that are thrown out? You can audit your waste and look at those top five cases, look at those materials that are used, what happens to the end of their life. So start by focusing on key areas, engaging all of the appropriate stakeholders, and making sure there's clarity in your policies.
Yeah, those are just the low-hanging fruit is obviously very important, especially for smaller systems. But also, it feels like that's a great way to start building some buy-in. Because if you do a couple of those, simpler efforts, and you have some success there, it's like, hey, look, we did this little thing, and it actually yielded benefits X, Y, Z, whether saving money or just reducing waste. So then that can maybe build a little bit of momentum for some of the harder problems you want to tackle.
Absolutely.
I've heard also health systems talk about the importance of engaging some of the younger staff in this, because obviously sustainability is something a lot of young people really are passionate about. So is that another area where, especially if you maybe don't have the staffing you'd like, that if you're really looking for volunteers, is that maybe an area where people should look and say, hey, if there's some young folks in the staff that are interested in sustainability, or the ones that maybe are riding a bike to work if they can, are they some folks they maybe should be tapping in some of these efforts?
Yeah, I think so. What I would recommend too is maybe creating, I'm going to go back quite a ways in my career. And one of the first hospitals I worked with creating a green team, they used the term green police. Now, that's not exciting to think that someone's going to be scrutinizing your every move. If you have folks, regardless of age, that are interested and inspired by driving environmental and human health outcomes, looking for ways to find ways to better utilize materials or be more operationally efficient, I think phrasing and terminology is important too. Looking at maybe calling them the green ambassadors, or they're representing their team or their unit that they're on to get excitement there. But absolutely, if there are folks that are interested, or there you have a demographic in your organization that's demonstrating interest, take advantage of it. But they need guidance. Otherwise, you are going to have a lot of passion around a park bench and not something much more substantial. And I don't mean to say that a park bench isn't a big deal. It's great. That's a lot of plastic saved, but use that energy and momentum to tie it to how do I use that to reach the goals outlined in my organization's strategic plan?
Yeah, that's a really good point in terms of like kind of identifying the passion, maybe directing that in the best ways so you can really get the bang for your buck too. And then also, I think that maybe helps reduce the burnout or maybe the frustrations if you're not seeing those efforts right away too. So if you kind of get people in a good direction, then the chance for payoff maybe it's increased a little bit down the road. So.
Yeah, the burnout thing's very real. I was on a round table with an industry organization, Practice Green Health, last year, and we were discussing how to get engagement through green teams and other things. And if you're part of this group, you are someone who is already very committed to sustainability, to compliance, to helping your organization achieve great outcomes for itself and for the communities it serves. And burnout was something that came up. It is a challenge. And you can help as a leader by mitigating some of that burnout by having this built into your strategic plans and considering how can we develop structures and frameworks that will help achieve these outcomes, that will help with my employee retention, reduce my cost, help with compliance. That will help. It's all about finding a balance.
When you talked about the green police, I saw that term as like thinking I could see that rubbing some folks the wrong way a little bit. Just the idea of even though very well intentioned and obviously hearts are in the right place, but it just made me think, are there other sort of examples of sort of mistakes that you see sometimes organizations make when they're trying to make some headway, but some stumbling blocks that some run into, even though they're trying to do the right thing, but there's some mistakes they make and trying to move forward with sustainability efforts.
Yeah, I think a common mistake, and it's not purposeful at all, but when you think about waste, most organizations go to, oh, that's environmental services or facilities, and they leave it with them and move on. Environmental services and facilities departments are really important parts of a healthcare organization, sometimes thankless, which is unfortunate because they help prevent spread of disease. They ensure that waste is managed appropriately among a number of other tasks. And the thing to keep in mind there is while they are collecting it, they're not the ones who are making the decision as to what goes into what containers. So when you think about a waste program, it's important to think about the policies and procedures that are put into place that will drive the training that's developed to train the frontline staff who are making the decisions to throw away. Another thing that ties into this as well is, do the staff who are generating the waste, the clinicians, for example, do they understand what happens to it? There's a story that has stuck with me for years. It was a hospital I was working with where the operating staff really just didn't think about that end result until an unfortunate incident happened. Nursing had put suction canisters, which are used to collect body fluids and blood during procedures. They put them into the regular trash and not into the medical waste. So this unknowing environmental services employee had taken the regular trash to the compactor and threw it into the compactor. And I want you to imagine what happened when you have waste compacted and it's filled with liquid. So it created an exposure incident. That really got the attention of healthcare leadership. And that's when we talk about what are opportunities for improvement or how do we make things better? This is why leadership involvement is so important. I've been working with another organization where the COO of the health system never thought in a million years that they would be dealing with waste. And I had multiple calls with them because their waste was rejected from the landfill because things were improperly thrown away. I share this because it goes back to do your frontline staff who are throwing things away understand what happens when they throw it away? It's really important. Everyone's there because they want to make a difference and help others. Think about where the things you throw away go and what happens to them. So, I guess just to reiterate, engage, it's waste is more than the waste team, it's an everyone team. Another opportunity area would be with the purchasing. Having clear statements of work with your suppliers. It's really important to find a supplier that is aligned to the same outcomes that you are, driving compliance and sustainability. So if I am developing a statement of work for a program, I might also think about shared KPIs that could help encourage both sides to work towards that common goal beyond, well, I just have an agreement to pick up my waste. Waste can be so much more than that. It is so much more than that. Is it important to your organization to live by its mission and values? Just like with any other supplier, you want to find a partner that exemplifies that as well.
Covered a lot of ground and not a lot of time, but anything else that we want to mention, or just maybe a final thing you want to make sure the audience understands before we wrap up?
Sure, I think the something that is maybe taken for granted is stakeholder engagement. Making sure you have representation from every department as you plan your program. Waste starts before the materials even get to your facility. So, purchasing, are they engaging the manufacturers and the suppliers to reduce the amount of product packaging that's coming in? Are they thinking about what they're buying? Did purchasing engage with the end users that are managing and using this material? Are you talking to infection control to understand if maybe there is an opportunity to have reusable materials? There's a lot of different people involved. Waste isn't, it's pervasive. It's in everything, whether it's processes, the materials we throw away, operations, it's everywhere. I think it's that is really key in finding a partner that can help support that thought process in terms of managing the waste, not just what happens at the dock, but inside your facility is really, really critical.
And getting everybody involved, like doctors, nurses, especially, I mean, just getting that buy-in across the organization, getting people involved to maybe think about questions that might not even be in your head. That feels like getting top down, top level involvement is great, but if you're not getting feedback from across the organization, it feels like you might miss some opportunities.
Definitely. I mean, it's for even from nursing, there was a hospital that I worked with that used their pharmaceutical waste program to achieve magnet certification. It was one of the three things that they used. You wouldn't necessarily think of waste with magnet certification, but it absolutely applies. There's opportunity with waste financially, from a program accreditation standpoint, from a PR perspective, and of course, the environmental and human health component.
Super. Well, we covered a lot of ground, and I think you offered some really great insights for some health systems and healthcare leaders to think about ways they can reduce their waste and reduce their environmental impact, which is great for this time of year as we're the Earth Month and Earth Day upon us. So, Alex, thanks so much for taking the time today.
Thank you for having me, Ron. It was my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Healthy Bottom Line, a podcast from Chief Healthcare Executive. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For the latest healthcare news, compelling features, and deeper dives, visit chiefhealthcareexecutive.com. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and X. I'm Ron Southwick, lead editor of Chief Healthcare Executive. Take care.